Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of November 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. He'll also be with us next week at the Farm Assets Conference in Normal, Illinois. Get your tickets right now, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065 or farmassetsconference.com, willag.org. We'll also take up the marketplace with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Go through what's been happening in the Midwest with rainfall and how El Nino is impacting the growing regions of South America. Along the way, I'll update you on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I told you yesterday we'd go through all of the commodity associations. Today, we'll talk with the pork producers. Oh, and one other item. If you're interested in higher-speed internet, Exceed Internet might be just the ticket for you. An interview with them from last week's NAFB convention in Kansas City on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here's what the numbers finished up on, like in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. Corn pit was a bit higher, up 2 cents in the nearby December, $3.62. March, a penny and a quarter higher, $3.68. The May at $3.73.5, up 3 quarters. July at $3.78.5, up a quarter. And next year's December at $3.90, that finished a half higher. January beans were up 4.5 cents at $8.64 as they closed out the day. March at $8.65, up 4.25. The May at $8.70.5, up 4. July up 3.75, September up 2.75, November of next year up 2.25, it finished $8.81.75. Bean meal down 30 cents, bean oil up 18 cents, soft red winter wheat up 6.5 in the December at 487.5, July down 7.25 at 493.5. That soft red December, by the way, was 6.5 lower. July down also at 4.75 lower, 495.5. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished up 40 cents at $128.75 in the December. February up $1 and a nickel at $130.70. January feeders at $161.25, $1.15 higher, and lean hogs were $2.55 higher at $54.35. This is willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Now, have you purchased your ticket yet for the Farm Assets Conference? That's just a week away. Now, next Tuesday, we'll be in Normal, Illinois for our big Farm Assets Conference. It starts out with big data. We'll cover regulatory issues as it's related to anhydrous ammonia in particular, other kinds of fertilizers as well, the problems that producers might have. And we'll take up, of course, the price of commodities. We'll have folks like, well, Wayne Nelson, who you'll hear in just a moment here on the radio station, along with us, and Jerry Golke will be there, the Golke Group. Sue Martin is coming in from Webster City, Iowa. Jackie Vakes will be on hand from Stuart Peterson. Mike Zuzalo from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Bill Gentry will be there from Risk Management. Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. Pete Manhart, too, from Bates Commodity. Should be a great lineup. And if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you need to pick them up right now. It's really easy to do. 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065, or you can just go online at farmassetsconference.com, willag.org, and get your tickets right now. Whatever you do, do it right now. Do it today. Don't tarry. Don't wait, because this conference is next week. It's just a $30 bill. We start about 10:30 in the morning, actually open the doors at 9:30, so you've got plenty of time to get there. We'll finish up between 4 and 5 in the afternoon, plenty of time to go home. We'll feed you, and your parking's free, all for $30. More could you want? 800-898-1065, farmassetsconference.com. And, of course, you can always find us online at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Well, it is the 17th day of November. This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. Get those tickets for the Farm Assets Conference, 800-898-1065, farmassetsconference.com. And you can come and see people like Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, in person. You can also listen to him this afternoon. Hi, Wayne. How are you today?
Oh, doing just good. Looking forward to next week.
Well, we're glad to have you on board with us this afternoon. We don't have a lot of time because I have many things to cover today. It sounds like our line might not be actually that good this afternoon anyway. But what can you tell me about the trade in Chicago for the day?
Well, you know, we got the commitment of traders report after the market yesterday. It did show that the funds were a lot shorter corn and beans than what they had been or near the highest height of things. So that's something that's not quite as negative because they don't have as many bullets to be selling this market. We're seeing very tight farmer selling, very tight farmer holding and not selling. And the big comment is it's too cheap to sell, but there's no fundamental reason to buy. So the commercials are hoping that the farmers will sell, and the farmers are hoping the commercials will pay up. And we saw a little bit of that today in both the corn and the beans. And, El Nino seems to be changing a little bit. The water seems to be getting cooler, and that could change to what could be some dry conditions for next year in some different areas.
All right. Well, we'll be watching that. In the mean space, we're watching basis. It has been leading the market. Will it continue to lead, do you suppose, if the market in the Chicago, the futures traders, are really thinking that they need to step up to the platter here?
Well, I think we're going to have to do both because the farmers are wanting a lot closer to $4 and $9, and we're not going to get close to those with just the board or just the basis here for a little while, Todd. So I think it's going to take a little bit of each. And I do think that, the basis is staying pretty good. I think they're 24 over here at the ethanol plants right now. It could get a little wider or it could get stronger than that. It could get closer to 30 over, I think, before we see much farmer movement.
Wayne, thanks so much. We look forward to having you in Normal, Illinois next week.
All righty. Glad to see that.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. You can see him in person a week from today at the Farm Assets Conference, 800-898-1065, farmassetsconference.com. Just a $30 bill. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. As you're well aware, I traveled to the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention last week in Kansas City. It kicked off with a really impressive press conference by the commodity associations. It's very rare, at least in recent times, for the associations all to agree on any one policy issue. But last week, they lined up in support of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Yesterday, I told you we'd hear from them all week. This week, we started out with USDA's Foreign Ag Service Administrator and followed that up with the American Soybean Association and their take on the TPP. But more importantly today, we'll hear from the National Pork Producers President-elect John Weber. TPP will have more of an impact on exports of red meat than any other agricultural sector.
America's pork producers strongly and unequivocally support the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and we will urge Congress to pass it quickly. Contrary to what you may have heard from Donald Trump, the TPP will benefit American consumers, workers, businesses, farmers, and ranchers. And we're confident it will provide enormous new market opportunities for high-quality U.S. pork products. It is by far the biggest commercial opportunity ever for U.S. pork producers like myself, but especially for those like my son and my young herdsmen who will be the next generation of pork producers and will see the full potential of this agreement. This agreement will dramatically exceed all previous U.S. free trade agreements. Iowa State University economist Dermot Hayes estimates that we'll see exponential growth in pork exports to the other 11 TPP countries, and those new exports alone will create 10,000 U.S. jobs. While no agreement is perfect, the TPP is overwhelmingly beneficial to the United States, and members of Congress need to keep that in mind. They also should consider that our competitors are negotiating free trade deals in the Asia-Pacific region that do not include the United States. The U.S. pork industry is extremely concerned about losing market share in the fastest growing region in the world if TPP is delayed or not implemented. No doubt, other sectors of the economy share our concern. As for the importance of exports to the U.S. pork industry, they are vital, adding more than $62 to the price of every hog in 2014. That's significant, considering that the average price of a hog last year was about $110. U.S. pork exports, which topped $6.6 billion in 2014, also are a boon to the U.S. economy, generating approximately 110,000 pork-related U.S. jobs. Free trade agreements work for the U.S. pork industry. We now export more pork to our 20 free trade agreement partners than to the rest of the world combined. Past trade deals have increased U.S. pork exports by more than 1,550% in value and nearly 1,300% in volume since 1989. The year that the United States began using bilateral and regional trade agreements to open foreign markets. Exports help all producers, regardless of size. In 2014, exports accounted for over a quarter of total U.S. production. Much of these exports were of cuts that in the United States are low in value, but abroad command a higher value. The United States and the 11 other TPP nations have made it clear that TPP will be a living agreement. At some point, other nations will become part of the deal. In fact, Indonesia, the Philippines, South Korea, and Taiwan and Thailand already have expressed interest in joining TPP. Finally, pork producers across the country will do whatever it takes to get TPP passed by Congress and implemented. We worked hard and diligently during the negotiations of this agreement, and we will work hard and diligently to get it passed. Thank you.
John Weber is the president-elect of the National Pork Producers Association and a pork producer and farmer from Iowa. He was speaking on the Trans-Pacific Partnership during last week's press conference at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting. You can find his comments and the comments of all six of the association's represented on our website at willag.org. You know what I'm going to say? I think you ought to come to the Farm Assets Conference next week. We planned what we think is a really great event for just $30. Doesn't really matter how far away you live, because we'll start sometime in that 10:30 time frame. In fact, that's what time we'll start. We'll open the doors at 9:30, and we'll finish up between 4 and 5 in the afternoon. Gives you plenty of time to get there, plenty of time to get home. The Farm Assets Conference is in Normal at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. That's just off the Illinois State University campus. It's easy to find, easy to get to. The $30 gets you the parking for the day. The deck will be open, so the parking deck right next to the Marriott, and your meal. Oh, and a coffee break, too. And you'll get to hear all kinds of great folks talk about really interesting things. I think big data is going to change your world dramatically. And if you don't understand it, it's going to be a big problem. So we've got John Jansen coming in. He's a vice president at Monsanto Company. That's the Field View Group that just incorporated John Deere into their system. And we'll also have on hand some folks to talk about regulatory functions and anhydrous ammonia as it relates to clean water. That one's going to be a big deal as well. And then naturally we'll take up the price of farmland, we'll take up the price of commodities. We've got a whole bunch of U of I folks to come in. Should be a great conference. If you're not coming, if you haven't bought your ticket yet, you need to change your mind and buy that ticket right now. 800-898-1065, 800-898-1065, or you can go online to willag.org, Farm Assets Conference. www.traders.com. Now, up next, let's take a look at Internet access. Last week when I was at NAFB, I talked to Matt Farr. He's the Director of Marketing and Communications and Customer Experience for Exceed Internet. They deliver Internet for people in rural places, hard-to-reach areas. I thought you might be interested in what he has to say.
Exceed Internet is a satellite Internet service. We offer good Internet service that you can get virtually anywhere, which is unique because a lot of people in rural areas don't have access to the kind of Internet that you can get in a metropolitan center. And so we bring the Internet to you regardless of where you choose to live.
By comparison, how do you compare to, for instance, a Comcast in terms of downloads and uploads and the speed?
Well, with Comcast, Comcast is pretty fast, and we're not quite as fast as Comcast, but we are faster, actually, than a lot of the DSL that you can get from the phone company. We're about twice as fast as the national average for DSL, and so for a lot of people who, even if they live at the edges of kind of a metropolitan area, the DSL that they can get might be a 3-meg service, say, and our service is 12 megs down and 3 megs up, so it's much faster.
That good enough to watch Netflix?
Oh, for sure. Netflix requires somewhere between 3 to 5 megs to get an HD signal out of it, and our service is 12, so you can get a very good Netflix signal with Exceed Internet.
How broadly are you available?
We're available throughout the United States in all 50 states. About 85% of people in the United States can get our fastest service, which is a 12-meg service, and in the other areas we offer a 5-meg service. That's in areas like Montana and Nevada, maybe less populated areas.
Do me the comparison between Direct and Dish and the offerings that they have.
We actually partner with both Dish and DirecTV because they're primarily TV services. They have satellite dishes, we have satellite dishes, so we're all kind of delivering our services via satellite. But for instance, if you call DirecTV up, you know, they might ask you, you know, hey, what are you using for your Internet service? And if you don't have anything, they'll actually sell you our service.
Oh, so that's interesting. I was thinking that they had their own services, but you're incorporated into both?
So with DirecTV, they actually just resell Exceed Internet. With Dish, they actually sell a service called DishNet, and a lot of times that service is actually powered by us.
If I just want you, and I just want to take TV off of the HD signals that are coming from my local stations, can I do that?
That's right. I mean, if you can get signal by an antenna, a digital antenna, and you don't feel like you need to pay for TV service, but maybe you want to watch Netflix and YouTube and all that kind of stuff, we're a great choice for that. You can get our service, get hooked up, and cancel your pay TV service.
What's your monthly fee?
Services start at about $50 a month.
And they go up to what? And is it stair-stepped in some form? So do you have a 6-meg service, a 9-meg service, a 12-meg service?
We do have different plans. It's actually not based on speed. All of our services are 12 megs. It's actually based on the amount of data you use. So we have plans ranging, starting at 50 and going all the way up to 150. So depending on how much data you need, you know, if you work from home you're using the Internet all the time, you have a big family and they're all simultaneously watching YouTube and Netflix and Amazon, you may need a bigger data plan. But we actually have a plan called the Liberty Plan, and even if you burn through all of your data with the Liberty Pass that comes with our Liberty Plan, you can kind of keep using your service even after you've reached the cap.
Do you have consumer and business plans both?
We do. In fact, we just started offering a new level of business plans with a lot more data, metered billing so that you can just kind of pay as you go. And then we offer a redundancy service as well for people who already have a primary Internet service but want to make sure that they have a backup Internet service in case, you know, a backhoe takes out the fiber line to their small business.
What does that cost and how does that work?
It works the same as our regular service. You get kind of a different grade of equipment, so you get a little bit faster speeds. You get a persistent IP address. And with the redundancy service, plans start at $60 a month. So it's meant just to be as a backup in case you need it. And then with the regular business plans, they range anywhere from, I think, $100 a month on up, depending on, you know, kind of how big your business is and how much data you intend to use.
So when you work with businesses, is it mostly incoming data that they're using for their employees, or is it oftentimes outgoing data where they're serving information to others?
You know, it's some of both. You know, certainly businesses that are doing transactions, like credit card transactions, I mean, that's an outgoing connection. So it is some of both. You know, for businesses, you know, like an insurance agency, where maybe they, you know, maybe they're downloading stuff from, you know, kind of the master insurance agent. You know, that could be a download thing. So it kind of depends on the business.
Okay, so I want to delve just a little bit into this, because there will be some small businesses, certainly in rural areas, that do not have activity fast enough, and or maybe they want to use you as the backup plan. What kind of businesses that have to have a whole lot of uploads? For instance, those that might be used, let's divide them up. So if I'm selling something and really it's just about, you know, the MasterCard transactions, mm-hmm. I suspect that can be handled fairly easily by your system. But if I'm serving a whole bunch of other media materials, maybe not so much.
You know, the biggest differentiator is video. You know, almost everything else uses some data, but it's not using a lot of data. Video is the thing that uses the most data. So if you're a business, if you're a news broadcaster and you are going to remote places and need to upload data, or you're just based out of a remote place, that's the area where you do the most uploading of data. Otherwise, generally, when people are using the internet, whether it's for business or for your home use, you're doing more downloading than uploading. The uploading part is the request. You know, I want to go to yahoo.com to check my email. And then the downloading part is all your email.
Can I use you mobily?
That's a good question. We actually do have a mobile service. It's quite a bit more expensive. I don't know a ton about it. You actually have to call our corporate offices to get it. We have been looking into creating a service for the RV market. So for people who love to go out in their recreational vehicle and, you know, they go to remote places and they want to use the internet. So that's something, you know, that we've been developing for the last few years. One of the interesting things, though, is that the service that we have for airplanes, if you've taken the a flight recently on United or JetBlue or Virgin Airlines, a lot of those services are actually powered by us. And the neat thing is, because it's powered by satellite internet rather than coming from the ground up, you know, by a cellular network, you can get much better speeds and you can use a lot more data. So you can actually stream a movie, you know, while you're 30,000 feet, you know, above the ground, you know, going from, you know, Denver to Kansas City.
Again, where do we find you on the internet and if we want to learn more information?
We're exceed.com. That's EXEDE.com.
That, of course, is Matt Farr. He's the Director of Marketing and Communications for Exceed Internet. I talked to him at the NAFB, the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, as I was traveling last week. By the way, I'll be traveling again tomorrow, not very far. I'll be at the iHotel here on campus for University of Illinois Extension's annual convention and conference. So we'll broadcast you from the iHotel just to the south of the Assembly Hall, the State Farm Center. That'll be tomorrow during the day on Wednesday and, of course, on Thursday. In the Spean space, I hope you'll go pick up your tickets at willag.org, farmassetsconference.com for the conference next week, because in a week we'll be in Normal, Illinois at the Illinois State University campus right there at the Marriott Hotel for the Farm Assets Conference. And you should get your tickets today.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
It's Homemade Bread Day. It's also a feast to St. Elizabeth of Hungary, patron of bakers. On this day in agricultural history in 1749, Nicholas Appert was born. Appert was a French cook and inventor who developed the method of preserving food that we call canning. He originally used glass jars sealed with wax and reinforced with wire. In 1865, William Burton was born. An American chemist, he devised the first thermal cracking process that more than doubled the proportion of gasoline yield from crude oil. His high heat, high pressure process saved more than 1 billion barrels of crude in its first 15 years of operation. In 1869, the Suez Canal opened, linking the Red Sea with the Mediterranean Sea. In 1988, Walmart opened its first supercenter in Wheeler, Oklahoma. It carried fresh meat, produce, dairy products, and baked goods, in addition to other standard supermarket products and discount store merchandise. And in 1996, the World Food Summit concluded. Delegates promised full efforts to ease world hunger. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the 17th day of November. Don Day is here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's been raining here, Don, and actually overnight quite a little bit of rain, but this is a big system. How much rainfall did we get across the Midwest?
Well, we've got a lot of areas that have picked up a half inch to over an inch of rain, especially in some of the western areas of the Corn Belt. And there's going to be a bit more, although we're going to see the focus of the real heavy rain in the south central areas of the United States. We're going to see some severe weather across eastern Oklahoma, Arkansas, down in Louisiana, into Missouri, and with that severe weather will be some heavy rainfall, while the northeastern quadrant of the storm, which will affect Indiana and Illinois, will certainly see some more chances of rain all the way up to and through tomorrow. There could be another quarter to three quarters of an inch of rain in those areas. On the backside of the low, going to be snowing across portions of northern and eastern Nebraska and eastern South Dakota and portions of Minnesota tonight and tomorrow morning.
Is this all a thank you to El Nino?
Well, I think we could probably just say thank you to the changing seasons. We're finally starting to see some real bona fide cold air come over the globe from Siberia into Canada, and some of that's going to start leaking in here. And we're going to see some real cold come into the Upper Plains, Great Lakes, and yes, the Corn Belt. By Friday morning and into the weekend, we see winter weather. In fact, I would not be surprised if Iowa, central and northern Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, going to be looking at the first bona fide snow event of the season.
Oh, my gosh. How much snow?
Well, I don't see it as a lot, but I certainly see I-80, Des Moines to Chicago, looking at several inches of new snow by Saturday.
Well, it is November and the end of the month. I guess we're getting close to Thanksgiving, so it's about that time in the Midwest for the cold weather to arrive and the soils to freeze up and for snow to show up. Let's turn our attention, though, to warmer climes, South America. They've had an interesting start via El Nino to their growing season. Tell me about conditions on the ground now.
Not looking bad, and you're right, it was an interesting start, and a lot of times what can happen in an El Nino pattern is a dry growing season in some southern hemisphere areas. Right now, though, they've turned the corner a little bit, and key growing areas of Brazil and Australia looking at some good amounts of precipitation. And one thing that we're starting to definitely see, Todd, is that a lot of folks want to compare this El Nino to 97-98, and it's really not looking like they're of the exact same flavor. There's some differences between them, and I think that may impact what happens in the southern hemisphere this growing season. Maybe not quite as dry as some have suspected.
Some wanted to turn it around and go even further back to 82, 83. That, of course, in the United States, 83 was a dry year. I don't know about the southern hemisphere, but El Nino has a tendency not to react the same each time it shows up, apparently.
It is. It's like a litter full of puppies. Every puppy's going to have a different personality, and that's kind of how El Nino is. No two are exactly alike, but you certainly see some similarities. And we are, without a doubt, in December, January, and February, going to see an El Nino-influenced weather pattern, especially the southern tier of the country from central and southern California to the southeast United States, still expecting above-normal precipitation there.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Dayes with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.